Today's shir is Masecht Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalad. We will begin at Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, we had learned the opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda repeated it, that if somebody intended to write the word Shimon, and instead of writing the word Shimon, he wrote just Shem, Shin Mem, he's Chayiv, because Shem is certainly a full-fledged word. So the Gemara asked the question, but Shem and Shimon, the Shem and Shimon, and the Mem and Shimon and Shem, and the Mem and Shimon are not written the same way. Because when you're writing Shem, the Mem you're going to write is the last, is like a Mem at the end of a word. When you write the word Mem and Shimon, it's a regular Mem. So how could one cover the other? So the Gemara answered that they are interchangeable. And you could, if you wrote one instead of the other, it's still acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei v'chsaftam, the Torah says, when it comes to writing, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, the Torah uses the word v'chsaftam. We learn from that, shtehei sivatana, tama. It should be a perfect writing. What does that mean? Shlo yichtav alfen einen, einen elfen. You should not interchange an aleph and an ayin, because, as Rashi explains, in the pronunciation of the aleph and in the pronunciation of the ayin, the sound is similar. So since the sound of these two words is similar, one may think that it doesn't make a difference if I write an aleph or an ayin. It's all the same. It has the exact same pronunciation. That's the way Rashi learns. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, because they say certainly nobody could say that you could write an aleph instead of ayin. That would be total misspelling, and nobody would suggest that a total misspelling should be acceptable. And therefore the Rashi wants to suggest that sometimes if you write an aleph somewhat in a backward, in a reversed fashion, it may look like an ayin. And therefore, the Gemara is teaching us, don't confuse the two. Basin, coffin, coffin bias. A bays and a cuff are very similar. The only difference is that the base has a little piece sticking out. Gamin, tzadin, tzadik gamin. The gimel and the fal, and the last tzadik, not the gimel, not the regular tzadik. Again, in the way they're written are similar. Dalad, Reish, and Dalad. Don't confuse a Dalad with a Reish and a Reish with a Dalad. Again, because the Dalad and the Reish are very similar, except that the Reish, the top is curved, and by the Dalad, the top has that little piece sticking out. Heyin, Chesin, Chesin, Heyin. Don't confuse a Hey with a Ches and a Ches with a Hey, because again, the difference between a Hey and a Ches is not that significant. The only difference is that the Ches on the left side goes all the way up, and the hay has that room for separation on that left side. Vav and yud and yud and vav. Don't confuse a vav and a yud, because the only difference between a vav and a yud is that the vav is just longer than the yud. Zayin and nun and nun and zayin. Don't confuse a nun and a zayin. And from here we see there's a question how the nun should be written. And here again, we're not talking about the regular nun. The regular nun and the regular zayin, of course, are very different from each other. What the Gemara here is referring to is the nun at the end, nun at the end of the letter, and the nun at the end of the letter, and the zayin at the end of the letter are very similar. But if the nun had its straight leg all the way at the end, and the zayin has it in the middle, how could you confuse the two? So from here we see that Say the Rishonim that they're supposed to be the same. The Ramban, the Ramban, the Rajbar, the Ritva all say this. Tayson, Pippin, Tayson. Don't confuse a pay and a tes, because if you look at the upper part, if you look at a tes, the right side of the tes is similar to the pay. The only difference is that is the entire pay, and the and the tes has on the left side another leg attached to it. So if you separate, if you don't have that leg attached to the rest of the letter, it looks exactly like a pei. Kfafim pshutim, pshutim kfafim. Letters that are supposed to be curved when written and not straight should not be confused the other way. Mem and samchem, samchem mem. The final mem and the samach are extremely similar, and therefore you have to, the difference is only if they're rounded. Stumim psuchim, psuchim stumim. What's relevant to our shir is that a letter that's supposed to be a final letter or a letter that's supposed to be entirely closed, you shouldn't confuse with a letter that's not written that way. Next, continues the Braisa. Pasha psucha layasena stuma, stuma layasena psucha. In the Torah separates certain pashas as they were taught to Moshe Rabbeinu. The reason the Medrash explains that was done was that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah, he wanted to give Moshe Rabbeinu a chance to study, to think between the two parashas. However, so there's two ways of separating the parashas. When you look into a Chumash, you see these two ways. Sometimes you see a pei, and sometimes you see a samach. The pei stands for psucha, the samach stands for stuma. There's a machloikis Rishonim, how to do psucha and stuma. And he says that, the Rambam says, the parasha psucha is a parasha that always begins at the beginning of a line, which means either that the parasha, the previous parasha, ended in the middle of a line, and there was room for nine letters left till the end of that line. So then the next parasha begins at the beginning of the line below it. Or if the previous parasha ended in the middle of a line and there isn't room for nine letters until the end of that line, so then the next parasha, you skip a line and then you begin the parasha at the beginning of the line. But the main point is that according to the Rambam, the parasha psucha always begins at the beginning of a line. Pasha Stuma doesn't begin at the beginning of a line. And there's three ways you can have a Pasha Stuma. If the previous Pasha begins, ends at the middle of the line, and you have room for nine letters until the end of the line, then you leave over the room for nine letters, and you begin the next Pasha on the same line, even with one word. Another way is when the previous parasha ends in the middle of the line and you only have room for nine letters until the end of the line. So then you leave a little at the beginning of the next line. You never want to begin a stuma at the beginning of the line, and you begin the next parasha. And a third way is when the previous parasha ends at the end of a line or in the middle of a line, and there's no room for nine letters, then you leave in the next line the space of nine letters, and then you begin the next parasha. That's the way the Rambam learns. Rabbeinu Tam, as far as a parasha psucha, agrees with the Rambam, and the parasha stuma, he always holds, has to begin on the same line as the previous parasha. So again, Pasha Psucha Loisena Stuma, Stuma Loisena Psucha, Kasra Kishira, Ashakasra Shira Kiyotzaba. We know that the Torah writes, in the Torah, all of it is written just one line after the other. Two exceptions are the Pasha of Oz Yashir and Pasha's Bishalach, and the Pasha's Hazinu, the Shira and Pasha's Hazina, Ashakasra Shalai B'diyoy. If you wrote the Sefer Torah not with ink, or you wrote the Shem Hashem with gold. The truth of the matter is, the Rishonim say, it's not just, the Kesef Mishnah makes this point, it's not just Askaris that you write with gold. Actually, what the Mishnah, what the Braisa here is referring to, even any letter in the Torah is supposed to be written with ink, not with gold. Another pshat that the Beis Yosef suggests that, yes, here we're referring to everything being written with gold. But everything else, if it's written with gold, would not disqualify the Sefer Torah, because I could just correct it. However, if somebody wrote the Askaris with gold, so once you wrote the Askaris with gold, and you cannot correct that, you cannot correct the Sefer Torah that was written with gold, so that's why the Brisa mentions, because you can't erase Hashem Hashem, that's why Hare Elu Yignazu, you should put them away. Whenever the Torah says put to the way, you should put it and bury it next to Tan Chacham. But what does it say in here, in this Brisa that we just studied? The Brisa said explicitly that if it's a parasha mem, a regular mem, should not be confused with a mem at the end of the letter. We can't confuse these two mems. So with the final mem, how can we say that doesn't make a difference? Answers the Gemara, Hu Damkei Haytana. We know that on Sukkot there was a mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim. The mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim was that they should pour water on the Mizbeach. Now, the question is, from where in the Torah do we see this mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim? The Tanya, so the Gemara says, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meseir Omer, Nemar, and the Kabbonis on the second day, it says, V'niskei Hem. And the Kabbonis of the 6 days, it says, V'nisocheh Ha. And the Kabbonis of Shvi of the 7th day, it's because it says, K'mishpatam, which are usually the Torah uses the words, V'niska, and the Torah uses the word Kamishpat. Here you have an extra Mem Yud Mem. Mem Yud Mem stands for Mayim. Mikan, from here we have a source for Remez L'Nisach HaMayim in a Torah. That you're supposed to do Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. Now, we're learning the Mem of the word Mayim from the word Niskehem, which was a Mem, which is a final Mem. Now, if what we said is correct, that you can never interchange those two mems, how could it be that you can learn that from there? So what must we see from here? Umid the Pasach, the mem that should have been found at the beginning of the word mayim, should have been a regular mem. But the Torah says it's a sosu sosu, it's a final mem, and it's still kosher, because we could use it to teach us the word mayim. Sosum nami. So therefore, the other way around assumes the Gemara as well. Sos of Asa Pesuach, if it's supposed to be a final mem, like in the word shame, and you made it into and you used the regular mem, Vasa Pesuach, it's also considered a kosher way of writing the word. Says the Gemara, Midami, is your comparison accurate? Pesuach Vasa Sosum, in a place where you wrote a mem, a final mem, instead of a regular mem. Elui kamalale. You're making it go up a step in cheshivas. Dama Rav Chisda, mem v'samach she beluchas. The letter mem and the word and the letter samach in the luchas, b'nes hayoimdim. They were there by nes, because all the letters in the luchas were engraved all the way through. So all the other letters of the alabes aren't completely cut out. So that's why, even if they're engraved through all the way, they still have what to hang on to. But Mem and Samach don't have what to hang on to. And yet they stood. So you see that the final Mem and the Samach are, the final Mem is more choshev than a regular Mem. And that's why the final Mem, I could understand, if you wrote it instead of a regular Mem, it's fine. Ella sauce of a soup psuach, Gerui Kamarle. That here, if it was supposed to be a mem at the end of a letter, and you wrote a regular letter, what you're doing is you're taking it down a notch. Dama Rav Yehuda Vitema Rav Chia Bar Abba, Mansuch, the mem, the nun, tzadik and pei, chof, tzifrim amru, only were introduced by the Nevi'im later on. So since they were only introduced later on, so that's why they don't have that same level of Kedusha. That's, Rashi says, Tzoifim with a Nevi'im. However, the Ramban says that the Yerushalmi says Tzoifim were Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, that they, as young children already, were able to understand what we can learn from the letters of the Tosfos. The Ritva says that we know that in time of Yoshua Melech, they found the Sefer Torah, and they were the ones that's when they saw this difference. The Tisbara asked the Gemara, how could you suggest that these letters were only introduced later by the Nevi'im? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ewa HaMitzvahs, Shana Novi Rishai L'Chadash Tov Me'ata, that a Novi cannot add anything. So how could the Nevi'im add something? So there's a machlokes, where does the Torah say the word Ewa HaMitzvahs? Rashi seems to learn that the Pasuk says, Ewa HaMitzvahs, and Parshas B'chukosai. There are those that disagree with Rashi, because the Mashah asks around that pshat. He says, that Eila HaMitzvahs, why would a Torah in the middle of Parshas B'chukosai mention that and be a lesson that you can't add to any of the mitzvahs? And therefore, he suggests it's regarding the words Eila HaMitzvahs at the end of Sefer B'midbar, where after the Torah completes Sefer B'Midbar, and at that point we're finished with the mitzvahs, because Parshas Seder Dvarim is really only a review of what was taught before that. So the Torah tells us at that point, Eila Advarim, you can't add. Ela, Mahava Hava, the letters, the regular letters and the other letters were there from before. Meida La Haviyadin, they weren't, however, sure which type of letter should be used in the middle of the word, and which type of mem, what type of letter should be used at the end of the letter. And then the Nevi'im came along that and added to it. So the Pnei Yeshua says, the number one from here we see, that when it says Eilu HaMitzvahs, that you're not allowed to add anything, it doesn't only refer to adding a mitzvah or an aveira. Anything that affects our learning is not allowed to be mentioned. Vakati asked the Gemara, how could you say that? Eila mitzvahs, shenu shoyl chadash tova mata, and even deciding what is a lot of what should be used in the middle of the word and what should be used at the end of the word is also something new. And as the Rishash explains, what the Gemara seems to think is that till then, you were allowed to use any of these, the way it's written, any way you wanted, in the middle, at the end. And now the Gemara is saying that, but the Gemara is saying that too may not be done by a Navi. Ella, says the Gemara, Shacham, they forgot what belongs where, v'chazda v'yazdam. And now the Nevi'im came along and reminded us where it belongs. Of course, the question is, how could you forget something so fundamental? So I saw that the Rashba says, that the Rashba, the Ritva, both say that there was a period in Klal Yisrael, hard to believe, that the entire Torah was forgotten. They hid the Sefer Torah, and nobody had any access to Torah. And during that period, they forgot where something belongs. So we have a machloikas tanoim, if you could mix up a mem and a samach. This price that we started today's shiur was that you may not. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira pshita is that you may. Gufo, Amar of Chizda, and one of the rayas we mentioned were the way the mem and the samach were in the luchas. So it says Amar of Chizda, mem v'samach shebe luchas, b'neis hayoimdim. The mem and the samach in the luchas were a nes because they went all the way through. Amar of Chizda, Ksav haluchas v'nikra b'fnim v'nikra b'chutz. Now the Gemara says another way, another point about the luchas, that the writing of the luchas, you could read it from both the inside and the outside. Kigoyin nevuv, the word nevuv on the other side could be written, look the opposite way, bubon. Bahar rahav sarveros. But they were written from both sides. So it's very interesting. I saw that the Paiskim, the Masham, in a tshuva discusses if you have photo offset. And on the way they used to print is they used to have these plates on which they wrote the letters. And when you print it, it comes out the other way, the proper way to read it. And in the tshuva and the Masham, Chel Gimel Simel Lametes, the question is, if the letters get ruined, you want to fix them. But let's say you have the Shem Hashem on one of these plates. Is it considered as if you're erasing the Shem Hashem when you erase it to fix it? So he wants to bring a raya from our Gemara, where our Gemara, the letters were written on one side properly, on the other side not properly, and it's still considered writing. But he says, that's not really a raya, because our Gemara on one side was indeed written reversed, but on one side it was written properly. On those plates, it's completely written not the right way, and maybe it's therefore allowed to be erased. But he brings a raya from a Tosfos from Masechta Moed Katan Daf Yud Hes Amud Aleph Divrei Hamaskil V'Tava that they didn't allow to write letters on Chol Moed in a backwards fashion, because the question is that considered writing or not? And Tosfos says that you're allowed to write it, because Tosfos says anything that's written backwards is not considered writing. So therefore, the Masham suggests that it should be mutter to be done, but he says try to do it that you not through a Jew, through an Akum. The Kaf HaChayim is also makel on the Shailah. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rabbanan, Rabbi Shu ben Levi. The Rabbanan said to Rabbi Shu ben Levi, also dardike idne lebei midrasha, young children have now come to the Beis Medrash, v'ram ramilin, they've taught us such incredible halachas, that feel b'mei Yeshu ben Nun, such a tremendous lesson, feel b'mei Yeshu ben Nun loit mekavasayu, that wasn't even taught to us in the time of Yeshu ben Nun. And our Gemara begins now to talk about the way to understand the alabes. The Zera Kodesh says, what's pshat in the Gemara, that the Gemara says, men v'samach shevaluchos b'neis ha'ya oimdim. He says that what we're learning from here is that a person who wants to learn Torah can't really succeed on his own. He needs a neis. He needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him. He says, the Torah says, right after the parsha of the Torah, of the Luchas, the Torah says, Rikhuli Truma. And the Medrash says, Truma stands for Torah Mem. What's Pshat Torah Mem? That a person has to, when he learns Torah, a person should compare himself to a mem that's written at the end of the word. He should be completely encircled, but he's standing with a neis. And such a person who learns Torah that way, that he completely encircles himself with the words of the Torah, and he also knows that success in learning is based on Siyata Dishmaya, then he will succeed. And I saw that the Sefer Chelek Levi, in fact, makes a very interesting observation. He says, on one hand, we know that Lasuki Shmatz, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Vav Amud Beis, teach us to be successful in learning, you need Siyata Dishmaya. But then, the Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, teaches us, you got the Matzah Satamin. As long as you apply yourself to learning, you will succeed.
So what is it? Do you need special shiata d'shmaya, or are you guaranteed success? So he says that to be able to paskin shailas properly, to teach the dvar halacha, for that you need siyata d'shmaya. He says that's pshat what our Gemara says. Mem v'samach shavaluchos b'neis hayomdim. The mem v'luchos to teach us that pasuk says regarding Yisachar, who was the pasuk of Klal Yisrael. Yisachar chamor gorim rovus b'hem shesayim v'hi lemas oved. If you want to be a mem samach Jew, if you want to be a Jew that's going to teach, that's going to be able to succeed in paskening shailas, you have to have the mem and samach. The mem and samach represent that you need a neis, you need a special siyata d'shmayim. So the Gemara begins, Aleph Beis. The first two letters are Aleph Beis. What does that mean? Aleph Bina. You have to learn. So Gimel Dalet. What does Gimel Dalet stand for? Gemoel Dalim. That you have to teach people Torah. So I saw from the Klausenberg Rebbe, Aleph Bina. You have to learn Torah. So people think, of course, you have to do Chesed, but even chesed that's done has to be done the way the Torah wants it to be done. You have to have the proper approach to chesed. How do you achieve the proper approach to chesed? Aleph Bina, if you learn Torah. Another pshat that I saw from the Vishnitz Rebbe is that doing chesed is not just giving somebody tzedakah or giving somebody what he needs. Chesed means to teach somebody else Torah. Aleph Bina, to learning Torah, the best way to teach somebody Torah is by Gomel Dalim, by teaching him Torah, by doing Chesed in Ruchnius. There's a famous word from the Vishnitz Rebbe, Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. Aleph Beis means Aleph stands for Amunah. If somebody lives with Amunah at Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Beis, he will have Brach in his life. Gimel, if he steals Geneva, then Dalet, he will bring poverty to his life. Continues the Gemara. My Tama asked the Gemara, what's the reason Pashtikar the Dimel Gav Dalet, the leg of the Gimel extends towards the Dalet? Says the Gemara, Shekein Dakish a Goymel Chesodim, a person who's a true Goymel Chesed doesn't just do Chesed, but routes Achadalim. He runs after poor people to try to help them. Well, my Tama continues the Brisa, says the Gemara, Pshut the Kair of the Dalad Gabi Gimel, the leg of the Dalad extends towards the Gimel, the Limtzle Navshi, the person who's relying on Chesed should make it easy for a person to do Chesed for him. And why is the face of the Dalet, the part of the Dalet that is open, not facing the Gimel? The Leitan Leibet Sinner. When you give somebody a tzedakah, you shouldn't make yourself visible to him. He should not be embarrassed. Hey, Vov. The next two letters on the Alabays are Hey, Vov. That's one of the names of Hashem. Zayin Ches. Tas Yud. Kaf Lamed, v'me'ata oisekein, and if you live life that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu zon oischa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you panosa, v'chein oischa, and you'll have chein, u'meitav loch, he'll do good for you, v'nois locha Yerusha, you'll get a Yerusha, in Eretz Yisrael, v'kosh loch kesel olam haba, and you will be zoicha to get olam haba. Mem pesuach mem stuma, as we began this year, there's both types of mem. Mam a pesuach, mam a sosim. That means there are two different parts of the Torah. There's parts of the Torah that you should reveal, and there are parts of the Torah that are meant to be kept quiet. Kabbalah. Nun kfufa, nun pshuta, the two types of nuns. Neman kafuf, neman poshut. Somebody who is humble, who's kafuf, somebody who's kafuf in this world, will be zoicha in the next
in the next world, he will be poshut, he'll stand tall. Samach ayin, smoich aniyim, support poor people. Lishn achrina, another pshat, smonim asay b'toyra, the k'neyosoy. One of the ways of being able to learn Torah, particularly in the world that they lived, where they learned Torah Shabbat, was to try to make different simonim, how to remember what you learned. Pei kfufa, pei pshuta. You have the two types of pei. Pei pesuach, pei sosim. Sometimes you're supposed to speak, and sometimes you're supposed to be quiet. As the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, teaches us that in the time where there are no other people to teach Torah, then you should teach Torah. And if there are other people to teach Torah, then you don't have to. Tzadik kfufa, tzadik pshuta, the two types of tzadis. Tzadik kofuf, if a tzaddik has to be humble in this world, and if you do so, tzaddik poshut, he will be erect in the world to come. Hainu, but ask the Gemara, we already learned that, but when we spoke about the two nums, nem poshut, why does it have to be repeated? Answers the Gemara, a person has to be extremely humble. And as the Rambam explains, in all the midos, you're supposed to take the middle road. But when it comes to being modest, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, Ma'oid, Ma'oid, have a Shval Ruach. Mikan Shenitna, Torah B'Vnoid Rosh. People who are extremely humble are the people who are going to be Zoich to succeed in Torah. Kuf represents Kadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reish is the Rosha. My tam mahade apa mereish. Why does the kuf turn away from the reish? When we look at a Shama Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ani eni yochel stakel b'rasha." I can't face the rasha. However, even though it turns away, my tam mahade tag the kuf lekabereish. The tag on top of the kuf does turn towards the reish. Shama Hakadosh Baruch Hu. If the Rasha does tshuva, he can rise to the madrega of wearing a crown. On my time, carry the kuf tuluya. Why is the left side, that leg of the kuf, hanging? The hadabei. If he wants to go back, la'ayil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a special door to come in through. To teach us that even though there's a door at the bottom of the letter kuf, but the lesson here is that even though there's a letter door there, sometimes a person does so many averis that he can't do tshuva anymore. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, no, even for you, I make a special door to go into. Why can't you go at the regular door? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an extra door. If somebody does an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to do the Aveira, Bala Tar, but if somebody wants to do mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only wants him to do mitzvahs, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu Messiah. So I saw from the Sefer Kedushas Aaron that actually he suggests that Paischin is more than Messiah. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu nicer when it comes to doing Aveira than when it comes to doing mitzvah? So he says that every person, every Jew is born with a natural intent to do the right thing. So Bala Tahar, if he wants to do the right thing, Messiah, so he just needs a little siyua, and he will be on the right track. Bala Tamei, which is not the natural behavior of a Jew, Paischenloi, he needs much more of a help. Shin is for Sheker. Tuf is for Emes. And my Tama, Shekhar Makavimili, you look at the letters of Shekhar, Shin, Kuf, Reish, are right next to each other. Emes, Aleph is the first letter of the Alabes, Mem is the middle letter, Tuf is the last letter, Merchikamele, says the word Shikr Shkiach. Unfortunately, Shekhar is much more common, the Kushtala Shkiach. And the question is, why does Shin, Shekhar, come before Emes?
The answer is that sheker, in this world is sheker, but the end, everybody will realize the emes. Why is sheker more common than emes? So I saw a poshta teretz, because there's only one emes, but there could be many shekers. Or my time is sheker chad karikoi. The letter sheker only has one base. Emes, melama melubei, that every one of the letters of the word emes has two legs. The kush, the koi, as we just said, the emes will prevail. The shikra loikei, but sheker will not be able to stand. As we speak about emes and sheker, I saw from the vision, the Emre Chaim, he says that emes, what pshat, that the emes will be spread all over the world, whereas sheker will not be able to be spread over the whole world. Sheker will be limited to only where it says. There's another way of learning the alabays, not just the way it's spelled as we know the alabays, but it's learned in the fashion of atbash, the aleph and the tof, the bays and the shin. Atbash says, how do we learn that? Im oisitoiv, if a person wants to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asavaloi. Oisitoiv, on the contrary, if a person hates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asavaloi, will I want to connect to him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that says, as much as I want to help a person who does mitzvahs, as we just learned, Habala Tahar, Messiah Oisai, somebody who does mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, helps him, and as I saw, the Emma says, "Habala Tahar." He just wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He already gets Siyata D'Shmaya. But if a person acts in an opposite fashion, a Savala, do I want to connect myself to him? Bash, be like Choshek. He doesn't want to have any desire to be close to me. Shmi Yochlalov, should I put the Shechin on him? Gar. Gufay timay, if he chas v'shalom defiles himself, arachem alav, dak, the loisi naal, he closes all doors between me and him. Kan ala gadeya, should I not punish him? At kan, says the Gemara, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the Rishoyim. Midas Rishoyim. Ava midas at tzadikim. When it comes to tzadikim, at bash, im at boish, if you're embarrassed to do averis, gar dak. If you're embarrassed, you have Yerushmayim, Gorbadoik, you will be able to come close to the Kisei HaKovet. Hayt Tzadik, Vav Pei, Chatzitza Aveh Ben Chola Af, you'll be able to separate it from the anger of Hashem. Zah Chas Tan, Enate Mizdayim in the Sotan. You need not be concerned from the Sotan. Yam Kal, Gehenim says to Hashem, Rabbani Shloilim, Liyam Kol, give me the whole world, even Klal Yisrael should be destined to Gehenim. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Achas B'tah Gif, other ways of understanding the alabays. Ani Chosaleim, I have Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael, they should bar to begif, they separate themselves from any immoral behavior. The cats, Dakim heim, they're tohar, kanim heim, they speak the truth, tzadikim heim, hey lamed kuf, elecha chelk behem, you can't have any connection to them. Umaz and shas, another way of explaining the alabays, omer gehenem lefonah, ribonu shloilem, mar is anini, give me something to sustain me, bizarre shall says, from the children of Shais, which is all of mankind, omer albam, gandas, Leichen Aleichem, I'm not taking them. Albas, you're not going to get them. Where am I taking them? Lagan Hadas to Gan Eden. Hey, I involve pay. Omer Gehenem Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shelam, Oyef Anoichi. I'm hungry. Zayin Tzadik Ches Kuf. Halolu Zera Shel Yitzchak. They are the children of Yitzchak. And as the Mashal explains, we learned earlier in our Masechta that Pei Tesem Abeis, that Avram and Yaakov are not going to be the ones to ask for Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael. Only Yitzchak, And that's why we mention specifically Yitzchak, as we find that we say in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, V'kedis Yitzchak hayoim lezaroi b'rachman tesker. Hello, Zara Yitzchak came, tad yesh kof taf tor. Wait, yesh l'kitis, kitis shalav t'chom shenisalach. I'm going to give you the akum, but Klai Yisrael, chas v'sholom, will not be put into Gehenna. Says the Mishnah, koisis shteyoisis behelam echad. If somebody forgot that today is Shabbos, and he did both, he wrote two letters, even though one was written in the morning and one was written in the afternoon, but it was one helam, yechayiv. The reason the Mishnah teaches us this din, explains the Tosfos Yontif, because we're going to learn in the next plot, daf kuf hei, that there's a machloikus of Yediyah, machloikus of Gemilin Chachamim, if he became aware after he'd wrote only one letter, is that considered Yediyah? So that's why the Mishnah teaches us that our Mishnah says it is considered a Yediyah, the opinion of the Chachamim. The Sfasema says that the Mishnah is teaching us that even though there were many hours between when you wrote the two letters, even though there was many hours between you wrote these two letters, if it was all in one helam, the halacha would be that's still going to be chayiv kamechatas. Kosev b'diyoy, if you wrote that those letters with ink, b'sam, with paint, with sikra, red pigment, b'kumas, gum, u'b'kankatam, with ferrous sulfite, u'b'chol dover shiroshim, anything that leaves a mark. Ashnei kaisus avos, if you wrote these two letters on two walls that form a corner, v'ashnei lachfei pinchas, on two tablets of a ledger, that you could put together. In all these cases, it's considered as if you wrote a full-fledged two letters, and therefore you're chayiv. Kaisob, sorry, you write on your skin, you're chayiv. And as the Rishonim explain, what happens is when you write on your skin, the natural body heat will cause those letters to eventually get erased. Still, the writing is considered a full-fledged writing. It's only an external factor that causes that it should disappear, and that's why it's still considered writing. Hamasaret al-Bsaroi, somebody who scratches out letters on his body, Reb Lezer mechayev chatas, Reb Lezer says that that's considered writing, v'chomem poitrin. Kosev b'mashkim, but if you wrote with liquids, v'mei peiros with fruit juice, v'avak drochim with dust of the road, Bavak Soifrim with scribes dust, there was dust that was left at the bottom of the inkwell, or b'chol davish enim eskayim, or you wrote with anything that doesn't last, potter. Even though it will last temporarily, but since it doesn't last on a permanent basis, anything that isn't done on a permanent basis is not going to be considered a valid writing. Lachi yodoy, if you write not in the regular way of writing, b'raglav with your feet, b'piv with your mouth, b'marpeka with your elbow, kos achas sabal ksav, if you wrote one letter next to something which was already written, or ksav agab ksav, one writing on top of another writing, the skav licht of ches, the kos of shtei zayinim, you wanted to write a ches, and instead of that it came out to be two zayins, even though you, two Zions are two letters, but since that was not your intention, even maybe, as the Rishonim explained, you wanted to write it that you maybe needed two Zions, but it was not your current intention to write two Zions, or some Rishonim explained, because a Zion has tagin, has crowns on top of it, and a Ches doesn't. If you wrote Achas Be'aretz, one letter was written on the wall, Vax Bakari, one on the ceiling, Kosova Shnei Kos Libayis, or you wrote two letters on two walls that Ashnei David Pinkus on two pages, Vein Nenim Zem Zed, that cannot be read together. In all these cases, Potter. You Potter, because it's not considered as if you wrote two fledged letters. Kosova Ois Achas Nutrikin, you wrote one letter, but that one letter is an abbreviation. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseir Mechayev, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseir says that that's considered writing. The Chomim Poitrim, the Chomim hold that that's not considered writing. Explains the Gemara,
Diyoy means blacking. Sam means sama, a type of a yellow paint. Sikra is red paint. Amar Rabbi Bahana, Sakarta Shema. Its real name is Sakarta. Kumis is a gum Arabic. Kankantum is ferrous sulfide. Amar Rabbi Bahana, Amar Shmuel, Chadita the Shukani. Ferrous sulfide is also called the shoemaker's black, because the shoemakers used to use this black, this type of ink to paint the shoes. We learned further in the Mishnah, anything that leaves a mark, you chay for writing. Ask the Gemara, what does that teach us? If somebody wrote a get with rainwater or gourna juice, kosher, then it's still kosher get. It's considered that you're writing. Taner of Chia, kosher ba'avar, if you wrote a get with lead, b'shachar with charcoal, or b'shichar, something that the shoemakers used to use for black, it's also considered a ink that you're considered writing. Hamasaret al-Basaray, we learned if somebody scratches letters on his flesh, Lezer holds its ksiva, the chum say potter. Of course, potter means potter of a loser. Tanya Amar Lamer Lezer Chumim. V'lai ben sarata hoitzik shofim Mitzrayim b'street al shebesara. Mitzrayim, as we know, was the capital of Kishif. And they were careful not to let anybody out of Mitzrayim with Kishif. So what he did was to be able to smuggle the formula for Kishif out of Mitzrayim, he wrote it in his hands. So we see that roishim on your hand is considered a way of writing. Amalai, to which the chum said to him, shaita haya. He was a shaita. He won't be the precedent for halacha. Kosav ois achas samal ksav. But we learned in the Mishnah that if you wrote one letter next to the ksav, man tana, who is the tana that teaches this halacha? Amar Rav Huna, the loy kerbelezer. This is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. We're going to learn in tomorrow's shir, that Rabbi Lezer says that if somebody just adds one thread to a previously woven fabric, he is chayiv. So here too, adding one letter should make you chayiv. Ksav al ksav, we learned in the Mishnah about ksav al ksav. Mantana, who says that ksav al ksav is not considered a writing. The Tanya Reshit Tzarech Lichtuv is a shame. Somebody has to write the shame. And when a Sofer writes the shame of Hashem, he has to have Kavona for the Kedushas Hashem. But he got confused. The Neskavon Lichtuv Yehuda. Instead of writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, he wrote the word Yehuda. For Tar. And then he makes a mistake. So that would be not. Instead of writing Yud Kei Vav Kei, he intended to write Yehuda. And then he got somewhat lucky. He didn't put the dalet in, so he ends up with the yud k, but it wasn't written with the proper kavana. Mavel of kulos mekatchoy. He could write over that yud k vav k with the proper kavana. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'cham oimrim ein Hashem in amufcha. That's not the way to write the Shem Hashem. So, of course, why do we have to say this complicated case? Why doesn't he just say a simple case? That he wrote the Shem, Hashem, without the Kavona. So, the Ratvaz and the Pnei Yeshua and the Chasam Sofer all say that Yehuda's coming to teach us a Chiddush. That he's coming to teach us that even though he didn't have the proper Kavona, and even though he wanted to write a different word altogether, if at the end of the day he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei, it can be repaired. So we're learning that there's a machlokes of Yehuda Chachamim. But if we look at the Lashon of a Chachamim, it says Einam and Hashem. Einam and Hashem seems to mean that it's not perfect, but it's okay. So all the Rishonim explain that Einam and Hashem means that Chachamat speaking to Yehuda. We hold that it's meaningless. You at least should agree that Einam and Hashem, it's not the right way to write the Shem Hashem. The Shem Hashem should be written with the proper kavana up front.